You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. With me on the other line, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's a new day of Heat basketball here after several months of talking and planning and trying to project what will happen. We actually got a game last night. It was maybe it wasn't much of a game, but it was still exciting to see Miami back on the floor, especially with a new revamped lineup.
Yeah, we're gonna get into all of that. I mean, we're gonna be doing these recaps throughout the season. The idea is that they're gonna go up a little bit earlier. We're recording this right like at 10:45. Eastern time, and we apologize for the sound quality advance because I don't usually have my microphone. I don't have my microphone set up that I usually have because I'm in Kentucky right now. So the idea is that we're going to have recaps for you every morning when you wake up, basically. So they're gonna come out earlier than they usually are today, which will probably come out this afternoon around noon. But the idea is to get them for you first thing in the morning, right?
Yeah, if there's a slight drop-off in quality, it's only to get you the news and analysis that you need on a daily basis. So just, you have to make a little sacrifice here and there, but it's all worth it in the long run.
So for the recaps, what we'll do is we'll probably experiment with this format a little bit, but we'll talk about the big theme of the game, right, whatever the big storyline is. And then David and I will both each pick one spotlight player to put a spotlight on, to zero in on a little bit more and talk more in depth about. Yeah, so let's just get right into it. I think the big theme is obviously the Heat starting lineup. That's been the biggest question facing the team. Who's going to be starting at two with Josh Richardson still recovering from a sprained MCL? And who's going to start, you know, at the four with Chris Bosh out? So we got our answer last night, at least for one game. The starting lineup was Goran Dragic at point guard, and then Tyler Johnson filled in for Josh Richardson at the two spot. Justice Winslow, Hassan Whiteside, and then starting at power forward was Luke Babbitt, which I probably wouldn't have guessed if you asked me, but it kind of worked. Like I liked the way that the team had a good flow, the spacing. You know, they hit 11 out of 23 three-pointers, so you could tell like there was a little bit more of that open space for guys like Goran Dragic to operate. He had 5 assists in 22 minutes, which is about right where we'd expected Goran Dragic to be, right? So, I think that was pretty interesting. I don't know if he's going to be the starting power forward moving forward, but I did like the way it worked, right?
Right. I mean, it was
we should say the Heat won 106-95. Not that it's right. Preseason, but we should probably get the score out there pretty.
Right. The score is secondary to the fact that everybody's just getting some work in, and particularly for a guy like Babbitt, who obviously doesn't move the needle much because he was acquired rather cheaply and he has been a journeyman throughout his short career. And I think a lot of Heat fans don't expect him to be much of a factor if he even makes the team. And that's still a question. So it's a little peculiar that a guy who's clearly on the bubble and a lot of fans see the battle between him and backup point guard Briante Weber for who makes the 15th spot on this roster as being the biggest battle in camp, I think. And to think of a guy who's, you know, maybe not even on the team in a few weeks, starting in the first preseason game, is a real eye-opener. And yes, there was positives and there were negatives of Babbitt starting. I think obviously the spacing was the biggest thing for him to be able to connect on 4 or 5 three-pointers, 5 or 6 field goals overall, 14 points. That's a great thing. He provides an elite-level skill, and as you know, you and I have talked about before, that's probably why he's going to be a better, sure bet to make this team, I think, than Weber, who needs a lot more development still. But obviously there were the negative signs, and that was, I think, the defense. We saw from him a lot of times where he just lost his man completely. He wasn't clear on where to rotate on defense, and unfortunately it turned into some easy points for the Wizards. So I think that's still an area of his game that needs to be developed. But offensively, he showed that he can be a positive, definitely, and I think he's likely to be a factor. If maybe just in specific lineups, maybe not necessarily as a starter, but clearly a rotation player because of that outside shooting that Miami desperately needs.
Yeah, and I think all these power forwards, and that's the problem, is that they all bring something to the table, but they all also take a couple things off the table. I mean, Derek Williams, who I'm rooting for, struggled shooting, and that's to put a 2 for 8 in 23 minutes. That's he struggled. You know, 1 for 3 from 3-point range. James Johnson went 3 for 5. And missed his 1 3-pointer. He still had 7 points and 7 rebounds. Got exactly what we figured, the type of points he would, just those hustle points. But, you know, for Luke Babbitt, I think you're right. Like he did screw up on defense a few times, but he was at least a +7 on the plus minus. So what we thought, if Babbitt was going to be the starting power forward, he would benefit by being bracketed by Justice Winslow and Hassan Whiteside. And I think that did show up. I thought that helped a little bit in the overall box score. And
right. And
none of these guys, we're not going to say, okay, well, this is the guy we're going to put in because they're better defensively, but they can't shoot. And, you know, Babbitt and Teague can shoot, but he's going to blow. You know what you're getting. You know, like, you've got it, like, almost scheduled in. Okay, he's going to blow a few defensive assignments. Like, you you deal with that, and you just hope that, okay, if this guy can, if he blows a backdoor cut and then hits a 3-pointer, that's a net gain of 1 point, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it works very well for the pace, the increased space that we saw last night. I think, you know, after years of trying to implement a faster style that was probably negated by, you know, Dwayne Wade's presence on the roster. And although, you know, as we mentioned before, we don't want to see Wade gone from the team. This is more a Spoelstra style of basketball. I think faster pace, you know, pushing it up the floor more quickly, and being able to kick it out to shooters. And you know, when you have somebody like that,
the words pace and space.
What's
again.
That?
I think he loves being able to say pace and space again. I think he's really excited about it.
Yeah, and actually have it mean something and be applicable to the way the team plays. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an encouraging. You know, obviously, look, it's a preseason game, so take it for what it is. Maybe it's not necessarily indicative of how this team will continue to play throughout the regular season, but for now, it did show a lot of the positives that we were looking for. You know, Babbitt's contributions, guys off the bench stepped up and played a big role. And you know, if there were any questions about whether or not Whiteside and his contract would be an issue, we didn't think it would be, but a lot of fans did think maybe, you know, particularly I think outside of South Florida, you know, they didn't think that Whiteside was going to be much of a factor, or that maybe now he's got his contract, maybe he'd be less of one. But he seemed engaged. He seemed ready. He's in midseason form. You know, to finish off with the totals that he did was very impressive. What did he finish off? 20 points, 9 of 12 shooting, 13 rebounds and 3 blocks in only 23 minutes. So, I mean, for 36, these are monster numbers. Maybe Shaquille O'Neal like.
And, you know, I want to talk about him for my spotlight player, but you know, people tend to say that the preseason doesn't count for anything. Like, I don't know, like, how many times I saw that on Twitter. Oh, the preseason doesn't count for, like, this is not the Big Three. This is not that veteran Miami Heat group where really the preseason didn't count for them. But for, I think, a young roster like this with a bunch of young guys who need time to gel, who need time to figure that, the preseason does matter. And to start it out 1-0 with a big win over a rival team who is going to be right there with you trying to fight for a playoff spot in the East, I think this does mean something. Like, I don't want to overblow it and say, hey, we're going to the playoffs, but,
right. You
know, for a team, this means something. I did want to mention a little bit more about the rotation. Deion Waiters was the first guy off the bench in the first and second half, so with Josh Richardson out, you know, we tend to book him into that starting two guard spot. But that's not official.
Right.
It's never been official. We've heard reports that Deion Waiters might be favored for that spot anyway. But this was, to me, this was telling. With Richardson out, Spoelstra decided to go with Tyler Johnson, not Deion Waiters, as a starting shooting guard, but then brought Deion Waiters in this fixed role as the sixth man. This might be telling of when Richardson does return that he will be the starting two guard. Tyler Johnson will go back to like a backup combo guard, and Deion Waiters might still indeed be the first guy off the bench, the true sixth man of the team. And he played well, 12 points in 22 minutes, 8 assists. I mean, more assists than Goran Dragic had. And I think, you know, that's huge. I mean, that's 12 points and 8 assists in 22 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting. That's exactly what you want out of this guy.
Yeah. I mean, if there were any questions about his fit in Miami, I think he's always been more of a playmaker and an offensive player, although he's shown flashes defensively as well. I know people have criticized him for his shot selection, things of that sort, but clearly he has a scorer's mentality, but he's also an underrated playmaker. And I think we saw glimpses of that with his tenure in Oklahoma City. more so than what he was expected to do in Cleveland, where he was expected to carry the load along with Kyrie Irving in a relatively young team. So this is the version of Waiters that we wanted to see in Miami, mm-hmm. a guy who can come off the bench, ignite the offense, make things happen. You know, we saw him drive past the primary defender and kick it out to open shooters along the perimeter, and that's exactly what you want from him. If he's rather than taking a bad shot or crying for the foul, as he's wont to do, I mean, it's just this Deion Waiters. We heard the first of many and ones from Deion last night, and that was I laughed giddily for at least 10 minutes when I heard it. So, this is the kind of Waiters that we want. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to take it to the rim whenever he gets the opening. And luckily for him, he passed it out and found those shooters. So he's more of a playmaker than what a lot of people expected from him. And that's what we kind of wanted from Waiters as far as the best case scenario of his year here in Miami.
A couple more notes before we get to our spotlight players. Udonis Haslam played 19 minutes.
That was surprising, yeah.
Willie Reed played 6, meanwhile. So there's going to be some wacky things. Bronte Weber played 21 minutes and Beno Udrih didn't get on the court. I think there's just going to be some, and then Rodney Magruder played 6 minutes. So there's going to be, obviously towards the end of this game, and Spoelstra decided to get his other guys some run, and I don't think that's going to be indicative of maybe. I don't think fans should look at that box score and say, well, Briante's making the team, Beno's not. That's not what happened there. I think that he just obviously knows what if you know what you're getting from any of these players, it's Beno Udrih.
Sure.
I think you put Udonis Haslam out there just to get him some playing time. He's the leader of this team now, right? You get him 19 minutes in the preseason. So just a couple other interesting notes.
Yeah. Carol White. Were you surprised that Tyler Johnson was starting?
Not surprised. I did think it was I thought it was smart, really. I really did. To play him in that starting group. I think I don't think he'll be a starter this season, but I do think he's going to get a lot of time with that starting group. So that was smart. And to maybe see, like I said, I think that was more a sign of, okay, let's see what Deion Waiters can do as the sixth man. Let's see what kind of spark this guy can bring as a sixth man. And just by default, I think Tyler Johnson gets a start.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if they switch it though for the next game.
Yeah. I wasn't overall. I think his numbers were pretty pedestrian.
Tyler Johnson.
I think a lot of people will complain, in context of his contract and stuff like that. I'm still not sold, and unfortunately, there was a brief injury scare there where he went down to the floor and was taken off the bench and went to the Heat's locker room. He came back, so I guess we expect him to be at full strength. But for me, health concerns and his size and durability have always been a concern and partly why I thought the contract might blow up in Miami's face at some point. But for now, let's hope that he continues to be productive, and whether he starts or not, as long as he's productive off the bench, that's a big factor for Miami.
Well, fans are going to need to find a new scapegoat, a new Mario Chalmers to yell at all the time. And Tyler Johnson, who was a fan favorite for 2 years, who could do no wrong, that suddenly with more money, he's going to be scrutinized more as comes with the turf, but
sure.
That's going to be – I can already tell it's going to be a storyline this season that we're going to be following is, okay, Tyler Johnson from fan favorite to Mario Chalmers in one contract.
Wouldn't it be great if Deion somehow turns into, a franchise savior and erases all the negative storylines that have surrounded him throughout his short career?
What do you mean if?
It's happening. Exactly. Yeah, it's already happened. Game one of the preseason, clearly he's already at least the third or fourth best player in Heat history.
Exactly. We got to redo our rankings. All right, let's do our spotlight players. So let's start with Hassan Whiteside. You mentioned his box score is very Whitesidean. Whitesidean. We'll go with that. 20 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks in 23 minutes, 9 of 12 shooting. I mean, just an absolute monster. More impressively, in his first 11 minutes, the first 11 minutes of the game, 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 blocks. I mean, he just came out of the gates bangbusters. Just right out of the gate was dominating the game. And that's exactly what you want from this guy. You want him to dominate the game. You not only want him to score 20 points, but you need him to dominate the game. The one thing, I won't get into that yet. What's your reaction on that?
Well, I mean, I take it somewhat, you know, with a grain of salt, considering it's a preseason. He was going up against Marcin Gortat. He's probably not the best defender at this point of his career. He wasn't ever really a great defender, so I don't know that he's – I mean, maybe if Ian Mahini had started on him, maybe those numbers would have been hindered a little bit. But still, you're right. He did show explosiveness. He showed a familiarity there. We were wondering if there was going to be a connection with any player on the floor now that Dwayne Wade, who was the best – you know, facilitator for Whiteside was gone, and you know, he seemed comfortable. He took lobs from Winslow. He took lobs from Dragic. I mean,
yeah, that Winslow, the lob from Winslow, that first one was good. That was a really good sign. I was excited about that.
Yeah, and you know, he even took a couple long range jumpers there. So I mean, this was the total package and the very best of Whiteside, and hopefully again a precursor for what we can expect for the rest of the season, because it was very impressive. And you know, there's a tendency to dismiss what happened because it's the preseason, but he's still, like you mentioned, you know, you want these guys to get that kind of familiarity there on the floor to be able to establish themselves, establish patterns. It's a long game, you know, as far as the season is concerned, the marathon, not the sprint, et cetera, but still you want to be able to make progress. And he took a big first step anyway.
Yeah. The one negative that I could find in this game was zero offensive rebounds. And the Heat in general, 5 offensive rebounds compared to Washington's 10. So you're not going to want to see. I think we've come to expect a rebounding difference, but not, you know, 50% of what the other team got on the offensive boards. And but I think that is also indicative of what Eric Spoelstra is trying to do now. We saw this with the Big Three, where he said, "Well, we don't care about offensive rebounds. Just get back down to the other side of the floor."
Right. I mean, and you know, the team shot 55% too, so there wasn't like a whole hell of a lot of opportunity for offensive rebounds.
So, I don't expect to see many zeros in the offensive rebound category, regardless for Whiteside, especially when Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic each had one. All right, your spotlight player.
Well, I mean, I think Justice Winslow, hopefully the future of the franchise, you know, solid night overall, 12 points. 5 of 8 shooting. He also had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, no steals or blocks. You know, you expect something, you know, more, especially in the steals department from him. Those stocks, if you want to look at it from that Bill Simmons type statistical category. But overall, you know, consistent with what he's always been. You know, a great defender, especially on the perimeter. He looked bouncy. He looked lively. He looked more athletic. There were several, you know, dribble drives from him. He looked more comfortable as a playmaker, and I think that's what you and I had talked about, you know, preceding this game. We wanted to see that next step in his evolution as an offensive player, being a playmaker. The shot will come to him. Even a great quote from, you know, Eric Spoelstra following the game, you know, they asked him about his improved shooting, and he said, quote, "I don't want to limit his progress to just that. That doesn't define what kind of a player he is, and he hopes teams continue to leave him open out there. But he's going to find a way to impact winning, and that's on both sides of the floor." And that's a pretty good description of who Winslow the player could be, because he can affect wins with his defense. He can also be a playmaker. He can also get things going. As long as he just continues to contribute positively, even if we don't necessarily see that kind of output in as far as the shooting is concerned, he's still going to be a major factor for Miami, and he'll continue to progress and show development. And you know, that's what we saw yesterday. Again, the shooting wasn't spectacular. He did mock a couple of three-pointers down. That's impressive. But at the same time, you know, you want him to continue to be more familiar with the offense, to be a playmaker, and we saw that. Not just a lot from Whiteside, but there were other, you know, a couple key passes there. And again, just as a ball handler, a key component offensively, that's what you need to see from him this season.
He took 5 three-pointers, and converting 2 of 5 on 3 is not bad. Like, that's respectable. That's to the point where you can't leave him open. You can't just leave him wide open, right? You have to at least close out on him, which is all we need. We don't need him to be Ray Allen. We just need him to just not miss all of them. You know, I think you're right, and I did like Spoelstra's quote just in regards to the complete game of Justice Winslow, because, you know, he helps us on Whiteside on that first lob dunk. You know, he gets the assist there. You know, minute after that, gets his first three-pointer. And then, you know, later on, you can see him, you know, facilitating, driving to the rim, you know, with that quick first step. You know, he had a nice dunk there. So you got to see all that. And, of course, the defense was there. So you get to see, we got to see a lot of Justice Winslow. I thought he was, in the box score, he was plus 20. That's the highest of any Miami Heat player that game. You know? and I think that's going to be a trend this season.
I was also impressed. I was looking at this over right now. The 43 made field goals from Miami, 27 of them were assisted. So that's a pretty high ratio, and I don't know that that's sustainable throughout the season, but, I mean, that's pretty impressive, and a lot of that is a byproduct of the kind of offense that they were playing, pushing that pace and getting it out to open shooters and stuff like that, and finding guys as they were cutting to the rim. It was certainly much more free-flowing and efficient than what we had seen even last season. You don't want to say that it's similar to the kind of glorious basketball we saw during the Big Three era, but at least stylistically, there were similarities.
The 27 assists, yeah, we don't know if that's sustainable, but if the Heat are going to score 106 points in a game, it's probably going to be with something like that, you know, with a lot of assists, because there's no LeBron James, there's no Kevin Durant to go out there and just put up 30 by themselves, you know?
Yeah, 54 points in the plate, 19 points on fast breaks, and 11 of 23 from three-point range. I mean, that's impressive. And you kind of, you know, again, part of the overall style that I think Spoelstra's trying to implement, and it worked at least for one night, and hopefully it'll continue to develop and grow as the preseason, you know, moves on. We'll probably see more tinkering from the lineups, but this is a good indicator of the overall strategy that Spoelstra is looking to implement this year.
Yes, exactly. So, all right, next game is Saturday, October 8th versus Minnesota, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll talk more about that next week after the game. And that's how we're going to do this. That was fun. I like the recap.
That's been great.
All right, well, that's all we have. Thank you for listening. This has been Locked On Heat. Find us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or by email, where you can leave us mailbag questions, comments, inquire about advertising. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. As always, subscribe on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We'll also include the RSS feed if you like to subscribe that way in the show notes. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Audio Boom, iHeartRadio. You can actually tell your Alexa, your Amazon Echo, to play us. You can literally say, play the last episode of the Locked On Heat podcast, and it'll start playing us. I don't know if you have an Amazon Echo, but if you do, you can do that. All right, that's all we got for today. We'll catch you next time.